2 weeks ago, I spoke about the same person, Abram. I told you that the difference between Abram and Abraham is that he got the new name when he was 99 years old. So today's story, Abram, is still around 75 years old. And at the time, I spoke about his distrust of God and lies ensued. He lied twice, calling his wife sister. He did so because he was afraid of losing his life, especially when he was staying in a foreign land. And I told that it's a lesson for us too. When it comes down to protection, God is our shield. That's His promise. Our best protection plan in times of need is God, not our own schemes, I said. It is far better choice to call on God in trusting in Him and in His mighty power than to rely on our own wisdom and might when the chips are down. And today I'm going to talk about another lesson from Abraham, and this time the lesson is generosity. My definition of generosity is the quality of being kind and generous. And let me recap today's story in my own words. After God intervened for Abram in Egypt, remember he was staying there and Sarah was taken into the palace for King Pharaoh to be his wife. God intervened, then Pharaoh returned Sarai to her husband and ordered them to leave the area at once. The scripture says, Pharaoh says, "Be gone, I don't want to see you anymore." I don't think it was really friendly departure. But anyway, so Abram headed out for the land of Canaan, from the land of Egypt to Canaan. And some scripture says Negev, that's the desert area, the wilderness. Abram traveled together with his nephew, Lot. In those days, it was an advantage to travel together in number, especially if you are a foreigner. The greater you are in number, the better protection you have. So Abram and Lot traveled together, and both of them were shepherds, and both of them, the Bible says, were wealthy, and both had many hired men to take care of their thousands of sheep and cattle. As you could imagine, to feed and water the flock would be a challenge. Mind you that in the wilderness you don't have a nice river or even a small lake that provides a steady supply of water either. Therefore, what you do, you solely rely on a well. By the way, no one shares his well with you either. You're a foreigner. So you have to dig one well for yourself. Furthermore, digging a well in those days was not a small task. I quote, "Many of the hand-dug wells in the ancient Holy Land exceeded 100 feet in depth." And if you read John chapter 4, you'll see another Jacob's well, and that alone was 150 feet deep. Very deep. So you could imagine digging this well with very primitive tools. It involved trials and errors to begin it, to find where the well is, and also took many workers and days to dig one well that was deep enough and good enough. Once a well is dug, then you'd like to stay there as long as you could, until either water or grass, whichever first, runs out. And that's the way they did, Abram and Lot. They shared the land and the well, which seemed at first sufficient for the both. And sooner or later, and one day, the strife broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and those of Lot. And someone must have started that day claiming that, hey, we have the first right here to the well and the land. The other party said, no way. So their verbal quarrel got noisy and they yelled at each other. And I'm afraid some of the rough ones might have used their fists. Luckily, no one was killed. I believe the same strife very likely happened more than once. Although the Bible doesn't say how many times it happened. It just said the strife. Of course, the herdsmen went back to their own camps, and guess what they did? They reported to their bosses respectively. Each side complained and blamed the other side for the strife. We were absolutely right. We have done nothing wrong, and the other guys were absolutely wrong. Sound familiar? Finally, all these matters came to the boss, Abram. And that's where the buck stopped. So how did he handle this whole situation? How would you handle it if you were him? And let me tell you what I believe he could have done. First of all, he could have chastised his nephew and his herdsmen for the strife. Hey, nephew, just behave and tell your guys to behave. He could have reminded Lot, too, who was in charge in his household. After all, am I not your uncle? Hey, respect your senior. Another one he could have done is that he could call for a committee meeting. Don't you love committees? Hey, send me 5 men of yours and I'll send 5 men of mine and let them have a committee to come up with the feeding and watering schedule for both sides. He did none of the above. Rather, he called for a one-on-one meeting with his nephew. He said to Lot, look, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I'll go to the right, and if to the right, then I'll go to the left. I love Abram's approach here to resolve any conflict between him and his nephew. Call for a one-on-one meeting. No mediators, just you and me, because we are brothers. Did you know that the same approach was recommended by Jesus our Lord? In Matthew 18:15, he said, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Many a time, however, we don't take Jesus' way. We take our own way, talking about them, gossiping them, complaining about them at their back. How often we do. Abram said to Lot, hey, look, we are family. Let's have peace between us. Do you see that he acknowledged that peace is the most important thing among his family members here? Not just between uncle and nephew, but also even among their employees, hired hands. He was conscientious in setting a good example before the world. If you read the Bible very carefully, in verse 7, it says, they were dwelling in the land of the Canaanite and Perizzites. What do you mean? Every other people look at us. Nephew, let's not set the bad example here. And Abram was determined not to allow anything to come between him and Lot. The same lesson I think many families today can use. Have you ever seen some families fight over an inheritance money, taking each other to the court? Folks, I've seen them. It's not that they need money, they're millionaires. But whatever the pittance of the inheritance from their parents, they took each other to the court saying that, oh, I'm not interested in the money, I'm interested in the principle, you know? Perhaps that's the way that some people in the world settle their disputes, but not for God's people. We are peacemakers. We seek peace and pursue it among us. I also like Abram's perspective on the way we gain material things. After you, he said, after you approach. He was kind and cool enough, giving the first choice to his nephew. Hey, look, you go first. Choose whatever suits your needs. If you go to the left, then I'll go to the right. And if to the right, then I'll go to the left. Don't you love his solution? I love it. Imagine the world we're living in now. Can you imagine if we yield to each other in driving? How much less stressed out would all of us be? Remember 9/11? Like, first 2 days or 3 days after the 9/11, I noticed that everybody on the street driving so politely. Yes. I would call Abraham's attitude generosity. Let me define what I mean by generosity. Let others have the first choice. I also believe that such an attitude only comes from maturity, from a mature person who has a room in her heart or in his heart for others. You cannot be generous to others if you have no room for others at all. Now, some of us may be even afraid that by being generous to others all the time, let them have their first choice all the time, would make us a loser, doormat. Not really. On the contrary, you see God in today's text reward Abraham. And in the same way, God will reward us for our generosity. Let's take a look at how God rewarded Abraham for his generosity. Right after Lot left for his choice land, the fertile land and the green and plenty of water land, Abram ended up staying in the same place. You can call it a stinky place, if you will. Very harsh, arid, and tough to live with his livestock. However, in the end, it was Abram, not Lot, who was truly blessed. Abraham did not become a loser at all. And this is how it happened. God appeared to him and assured that he would give Abram forever, wherever his feet touched, as a permanent inheritance for his descendants. Well, to make a long story short, do you know what happened to Lot in the end? He lost everything, despite the favorable environments he went after. Abraham and his possessions, however, multiplied despite the harsh conditions they were in. And that reminds me that true blessings always stem from and stay with God. Let me repeat. True blessings always stem from God and stay with God. The Bible says God is the source of our blessings and He Himself is our blessing. And here's another spiritual secret, if you will. You don't choose blessings over God. You don't choose money over God. Rather, you choose God and blessings will follow you. Here's one good prayer for us to try starting today. How about stop praying? Lord, bless me in what I do. And start praying, Lord, help me to do what you bless. Do you see the difference? Instead of saying, Lord, bless me in what I do, how about we start praying, Lord, help me to do what you bless. I think you'll see a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what Abram did. And I'm going to just share with you one more story and now I'll be done. Sundar Singh, a Christian man in India, in the 20th century. Once he was on his way to India from Tibet, India and Tibet, you know, he traveled back and forth. And he was traveling that day through a very high mountain in freezing weather in the Himalayas. He was traveling together with a friend. And as they approached the next lodge to stay overnight, which was about a couple of miles away, they found a stranger on the ground, buried in snow, half frozen and dying. Sundar Singh suggested to his friend to take the man with them. The friend refused, saying, "Are you out of mind? We cannot afford to carry another man in this cold weather." Singh insisted. So his friend said, "No, if you want to just do it, go ahead." And he went ahead alone. So Singh took the man on his back. You could imagine the weight of the man on his back made his steps extra heavy and slow. About a mile later, Singh found another man on the ground. Who do you think it was? It was his friend who went ahead, and his friend was gone. He was frozen to death. Singh and the other men, however, made to the next house, both alive. Later, Singh realized that the heavy weight of the man on his back provided the extra heat that kept them both warm. Because as you carry the heavy weight, he sweated. What's the lesson? Sundar Singh chose what God blessed. Help others. And he survived. And his friend didn't. Let us be generous to each other, and God will reward us for our generosity. Let's bow as and pray. In my humble opinion, Lord, some people are good, and others are not so good when it comes down to generosity. Whether we are born with generosity or not, it is God's will for us to be generous, like Abram did. That pleased Abram what he did with his Lot nephew. God was very pleased with Abram and blessed him more. Help us to choose you over anything in the world, asking ourselves the question, am I with God? Is God with me? Rather than always following what's in it for me. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.